your Bibles this morning. I want you to follow along with me. I'm going to give you several verses like I do sometimes at the beginning. This past fall, the Lord gave me a series of messages, actually some seven messages to do with the harvest time. And the Lord blessed those. And as I was thinking about today, the Lord impressed. Don't worry, I'm not preaching all seven of them now. So we'll kind of do a little combination maybe of some of them. But I want us to look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You put a marker there if you got markers in your Bible, or put your finger there. We'll try to give you opportunity to turn as well to these as we go. Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Good to hear pages turning. Luke 8. Luke 8. Said, man, I didn't know we was having a sword drill this morning. 1 Peter 1. And we'll stop right now with that. 1 Peter 1. Now John 12. We'll go back to John 12 and I'll read that. John 12, verse 24. Jesus speaking here, and it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Okay? So we see a principle here that the seed must be in the ground and must die. Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Luke 8 and verse 11. By the way, before I read that, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 31, the Apostle Paul made this statement, I die daily. I die daily. Luke chapter 8 there, verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we're talking about the seed, okay? Now here the Lord, in this parable, he wants to make very sure you understand what he's talking about. And he says here, the seed is the Word of God. So he's giving us a word picture, amen? He's saying, my Word is like that seed. Okay? One more verse. 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. Verse 23. Toward the end of the chapter there, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're going to talk about the seed this morning, that incorruptible seed. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you bless our time in your word. Do that which you alone can do. God, touch hearts. Lord, we pray if there's one in our midst that's not saved, we pray this would be the very hour when they'd come to the saving knowledge and trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then, Lord, for we that are saved, may our lives, Lord, produce fruit and grow as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I brought a couple of object lessons with me today, and I have pumpkin seeds. Amen. Now, when I was doing this before, of course, in the fall, it was the time for pumpkins. But I also have in this pocket a seed, more seed somewhere. Okay, here we go. And it happens to be sweet corn. So I have a sweet corn. Okay, so I'm going to take that out. Now I have one little kernel of seed corn here. Okay, one little kernel of seed corn. Now, in the Word of God, mind you, we see that this metaphor, this picture, word picture is used about the seed over and over again. We have the principle of sowing and reaping. But we find that the growth in the kingdom of God, or our growth of the kingdom of God, happens according to a process, and it starts with a seed. Did you know back in creation, the Lord, when He created all, He made it possible so that they could reproduce, and He made a seed, amen? And then He likens that seed unto the Word of God. So today I want us to think about this miracle of the seed. Did you know I'm holding this little kernel of corn here, this seed corn in my hand? Now you can't see it, but inside this little corn is about a 5-foot stalk of corn. Amen. And there's a couple of ears of corn inside that. It's in that seed. There's silk. It's in that seed. See, you can't see it, but it's in there. It's everything that's needed to produce corn is in that little seed right there. And so we find that as you look at that seed and you think, oh boy, it's hard to believe that you could get 2 ears of corn, stick of butter, salt shaker, heaven, amen, if you like corn. And so, but it's in there. It's in that little seed. Because in that seed, in its embryo, is the blueprint of life inside that seed right there. You say, well, that looks like just a little dried up piece of nothing, man. But it is and has life within it because of that embryo that's in there. But in order for that life to come forth, it's got to be planted. It's got to be planted. That's what we see. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it's planted, if it dies, it's going to bring forth fruit. So, you know what? I have some of this at home that I've had for 30 years. And you know what? I do not have one corn stalk on the shelf where it's sitting. Because it never was planted. And so as a result, because it was not planted, it did not produce fruit because it has to be planted. And so as a result, and then when it's planted, the Bible tells us that it will bring forth fruit. But what has to happen is, first of all, it's got to be planted. Now, understand. So how does that happen? Well, the Word of God, the same way, has to be planted in the hearts of men and women and young people, amen. That the seed has to be planted within the heart. The gospel, the Word of God, has to be given. Well, before this seed here could be planted, there has to be a breaking of the ground, amen. There has to be some plowing done, preparation, getting the ground ready. We live in a day and time today, though, they don't always plow, they drill. They have drills that actually just drills holes in the ground. And then the seed is put in the hole. Same principle. It's still got to get into the ground. It's got to get through that crust. It has to be put under that dirt. Did you know what? That's what the preaching of the Word of God's for. Because it's the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts in, as it were, into the heart of man and implants that gospel seed that's there. And so as a result, we find it's through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God that we plow the ground, so to speak, and the hearts of men and women and young people. Why? So we can implant that gospel seed in there. I was telling you about our walk through Bethlehem that we did, and 1,500 people coming through. You don't get to talk to them all one-on-one, but some you do. But in that tent every night, 3 times a night, I got to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every night, tell them what the real meaning of Christmas was. And tell them that Jesus did not stay a baby in a manger. That was not His purpose for coming. But He left that manger and grew into the God-man, the sinless Son of God, who would go to an old rugged cross and die. But then I'd tell them He's not on the cross anymore either. He died for our sins with His own shed blood. He paid for them. And they took Him off the cross and they placed His body in a tomb. And then I would say, but I'm glad I can tell you, His body's not in the tomb today because he arose from the grave. And he's a living Savior today. Now, every night, three times a night, I gave the gospel. You know why? Because I wanted to get the seed planted. I wanted to get it into the hearts of others. I wanted to get it so that, hey, listen, they could have life eternal when that seed would take root and sprout. And so as a result, we find here the seed is here. The soil must be cracked open to allow the seed to be planted. And then, when it's planted, did you know this? Everything that happens with this seed, when it's put into the ground for the first part, is invisible to the human eye. You can't see it. You know why you can't see it? It's happening underneath the surface. You see, because when you put this seed in the ground and you plant this, hey, what happens is the water, the earth, as it were, all of a sudden this little seed down here, that begins to envelop that seed. And that little seed starts absorbing certain nutrients and water into it. And that life inside of there, that blueprint of life, that embryo that's in there begins to swell. And life is coming out of that. And that, oh man, I get excited just thinking about it because of what happens here. And then that begins to swell. And that old outside husk that you're looking at now, it begins to crack. And it begins to break open. And then there's some little roots that begin to sprout down at the bottom of it. And they start reaching into that earth. And they start drawing out the nutrients. And they start drawing out. Why? Because it's a process. It's a process of life and growth that's happening to the seed. Look with me, if you will. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 for a moment. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to see this. In Ephesians chapter number 3 there, in verse number 17, the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Look, he said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. You see what happens when a sinner hears the gospel message and they hear the word of God. The seed's planted. And then, hey, that seed begins to sprout. That seed begins to produce the roots. That inner part of that seed begins to swell. And as a result, that old husk begins to crack so that seed gets rooted. Now, let me tell you something. You don't see that happen. That's all happening beneath the surface. You plant your garden, you put the seed in the ground, and all you're looking for is a sprout. Amen? But before the sprout can ever appear, that life that's within that seed is doing work beneath the surface. Stay with me now. I'm coming down these steps a bit here. Because understand this. When a person gets saved, the work that's done is on the inside. You see, because what happens when a person gets saved is the miracle of life takes place inside. You see, because they have been changed. They have been passed from death unto life. They are a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's happened. You don't always see it instantaneously, but it's inside. Something in here starts happening. But where they had no love of Jesus before, all of a sudden, now they want to hear more about Jesus. Where they maybe didn't have a desire to go to church, now all of a sudden they want to go to church. Where they maybe didn't care about brothers and sisters in Christ, they start caring about those that know Jesus Christ as well. Why? Because inside them there is growth taking place. There is life taking place. And so that little old seed is already starting the process. And the process happens. When a person gets saved, that's why they need to get in church. You know why? Because they need to get rooted and grounded. And the way that happens is through the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that's in there that created that process and gave you that life, and it needs to be more and more of it taken in. And so as a result, because that feeds that new life, that feeds that seed, that's the nutrients that the spiritual incorruptible seed grows on, is the Word of God. Amen. And so as a result, and so now here's the next step. Except the corn or wheat fall into the ground and die. Did you know what Paul said? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet, not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. He said, I die daily. You know what Paul's saying? I've had to learn to die to myself, but yet I have life. You see, here's the thing. When this little old seed and that process starts happening, I talked about, and that life inside that seed starts to swell, starts to grow, and the roots start coming down, then those roots, they start drawing the nutrients up. And the more nutrients and water that comes up into that living part of this seed, the more of the old dead seed breaks away. Have y'all ever had a sprout? If you've had a garden, have you ever had a sprout come up and have a half or whole of the old seed just sticking on the tip of it? Why? Because that's dead. And it's dead. The plant doesn't need that anymore. Because it's done with that. Why? Because now it's all about the growth of the new life that's coming from it. Amen. And so you die to self. And I tell you, that old outer husk. Paul said we need to die to our will and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Die to self. Did you know what? We live in a selfish world. Why? Because we all got a selfish nature. We were born with it. That's what the old nature is. Thinks about self. But when you get saved, it's not about self anymore. It's about Jesus. And it's about others. Amen. And the more we die to self, the more we accomplish what God wants in our life. And the more the new man grows. And the old man's put away. That's why he kept saying, put off the old man and the things of the old. Put them off. Why? You don't need them. They crucify. They're dead. They're gone. Put on the new man. Put on the things of God. The things that go along with that new life. So this seed grows. This seed grows. Now, we determine, as you see, this seed here. So that old shell, it's busted. It's broken. It's left behind. It's pushed aside. And then, what I always looked for when I was planting my garden. You know, I'm the type of guy, I got to be honest with you. I'm the type of guy, when I planted my green beans, I love green beans, and I plant green beans, I'd go out the next day and look. You know, I've heard my wife say, why are you going out there? You know, look, there's so many days, you know, they're not going to be up. Well, one maybe didn't know that, and it'll pop up anyway or something. But I would go out there, and eventually, you know, I'd see this little curly green sprout. Excitement. It took root. They're alive. Amen. Can I tell you something? Oh, listen. This little old seed inside of it with that life is a determination to grow. That's what this seed's for. It's to grow. It wants to take, and as it's nourished with that new life, and it wants to sprout and come up. Boy, I tell you what determination! Have you ever seen this? I have seen a little sprout come up through, and there'll be a rock that big laying there. Y'all know if you've had a garden, and that little old sprout will push that rock to the side and come up around it and get up. You know why? Because it's trying. It's trying to push toward the sun. You know what? When we get saved, you know what we need to do? Push toward the sun. Not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N, sun. a determination to grow. Hey, that's what the seed is all about. It's so that new life can grow. And so that new life can be evident. Because now what you could not see happening beneath the surface is above. And now you can watch it. Man, I'd come home, go out there every day. Oh, yep, there it is. You know, and just watch it grow. Well, is it time I need to, if it was pole beans, you got to stick them, you know, and put some stuff and tie them up. And watch that tomato plant get so big and you want to try to keep it so it won't fall over. And so you're watching is each stage of growth as it comes because you're excited. It means life. So what you do is you feed it. Amen. You feed it, fertilize it. Give it some food. What it don't get out of the ground, I'm going to give it some food. I'm going to make sure it's eaten because I want it to grow. And then not only that, then you water it with prayer. Amen. You feed it with the Word of God spiritually and you water it with prayer. That's how we water our new life. It's just by having a prayer life. And then you weed it. Why? Because the weeds have only one goal. Smother the plant out. Keep it from being fruitful. You say, what are you talking about there? Sin. Weed the sin out of our life. Keep our lives clean like God wants it to be. Why? Because sin will do nothing but rob you of the fruit that God wants you to have. It will destroy the usefulness and the fruitfulness of that plant if the weeds are allowed to smother it. And so, keep your heart right with God and stay in church and stay in the Word of God so you can feed that new life so it'll grow. And then, not only that, it desires to produce fruit. It desires to produce fruit. The invisible becomes visible. The life from within bursts through and fulfill the purpose that seed was made for. What was this seed made for? It was made to produce more fruit. Amen? In this case, corn. Yeah. The whole purpose of this seed is to produce fruit. Do you know what God desires out of every one of us in here that are saved? Produce fruit. You know what He wants our lives to do as Christians? Produce fruit. John 15 talks about the vine and He talks about the branches. Jesus is that vine. And He uses three times there He mentions. If that branch is in that vine and depends upon the vine, which is Jesus, you're going to bear fruit. But then if it's purged, it's going to bear more fruit. And then He said eventually, hey, if we'll love Him and we'll serve Him and do what He wants, we'll bear much fruit. God wants us all our lives to be fruitful and producing fruit. This seed, that's why I brought this basket. This is my harvest basket. You notice my harvest basket, don't you? It's empty. So if I want the harvest basket to be full, what do I have to do? I think I'm going to have to sow some seed. Amen? I think I'm going to have some fruit. Because that's what the harvest... all throughout the Word of God, and especially in the New Testament, you'll find it's about the harvest. Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. You see, and so as a result, the harvest is here. But you'll notice my basket is empty. And so in order for the harvest to take place, there must be some spring planting and there must be some work with the seed in order to get the fruit to come forth. Now we're in the winter right now and the harvest has already passed. But you know whatever farmer is doing right now, and there may be farmers in here, they're thinking about in a few months. They're thinking about, hey, I've got to get things ready to plant. I got to get the seed in the ground at the earliest possibility. Why? So it can yield and bring forth fruit. That means a farmer is continually either involved in the harvest and the planting, or he is doing the planning and the prep work in order to get that harvest out. Why? Because that's his life. That's what they did. Only problem was, in those days, they didn't have John Deere. He wasn't born yet. And as a result, hey, they had to go out by hand and work and labor. And so as a result, we want to see this basket full. We want to see the harvest. Truly is great, but the laborers are few. Well, wait a minute. Is that just talking about the harvest? Well, it could, but we also need the laborers to plant the seed. Why? So there will be a harvest. There can't be a harvest without planting the seed. Did you know what you and I, our responsibility is? Is to continually be planting the seed. You see, here on this seed here, it's got a desire to produce. It's got a desire to bring forth that. You know what? If you're saved, people ought to be able to see you're saved. If this sprouts, there's no question whether it's alive or not. If you see a green stalk with ears of corn on it, you know it's alive. You know it. Can I say this to you and understand where I'm coming from? If our lives are not bearing fruit, we better check and make sure that we have that life. And if we have that life, are we dying to self? Are we allowing God to help us to grow and become more fruitful? Fruitful and more fruitful. You see, because I believe every child of God ought to be fruitful until the Lord takes us home. One way or another, we ought to be. Sowing the seed. Every opportunity we get, sowing the seed. Sowing. Why? This little seed, it desires and it blooms in order to bear fruit. That bloom is that preparation. That bloom that comes. And so we find that. And our fruit enables more fruit as the seed is destroyed. Did you know what? Look at whatever grows and watch it. How many of you like apples? If I bite into the core of that apple, what am I going to find in that apple? Seeds. Seed. Well, why has it got seeds? I mean, you know, I'm not going to eat them. I know people that do, but I don't particularly care for them. I know one guy, he starts at the bottom of the apple and eats the whole thing. Yeah, there's nothing left. And so as a result, I don't like them little husk in that core in there, but he just eats it. Look, here's the thing. But the seeds in there, they're not made for eating. You know what they're made for? Growing. That's the next trees. That's the next apple. Yeah, I was doing some research this year on that about the apple, and you're talking about the apple seed. Did you know up in New York and Ohio are still apple trees that came from the trees that Johnny Appleseed planted many decades ago? Yeah. Why? Because they're seeds, and those seeds will make more trees. You know, you can do that. My dad, when I was at home, my dad, he had a green thumb. He could grow just about anything. But one day, we had some peaches. And Dad was eating a peach in the backyard. And Dad said, oh, you know, I don't think I'm going to throw this peach seed away. And my dad went over, had a place in the yard, and he dug a little hole and he planted that peach seed. And that next year, there was a sprout there. And that little old tree began to grow. And my dad nurtured it, and he transplanted it out into a bigger place in the yard. And I can't tell you the number of bushels of peaches that my mom and dad picked off of that tree and my mom canned. Why? Because they planted one peach seed, and it brought forth life. You never know. You never know. But you keep planting. You keep planting. Because why? You want to harvest. And the distribution of the seed is so important to harvest. If you don't sow the seed, you won't have a harvest. You've got to sow the seed. You've got to sow the seed. You know what? You're talking about, I know it's January, but introducing your new Bible. You know what Bible schools are? It's a time of sowing seed in young hearts as well as older hearts. Amen. But it's a time of sowing seed. You know why I love camp so much and preach every summer for almost 50 years now, I preached a camp somewhere at least 1 week and many times 4 or 5 weeks. You know why? Because it's an opportunity to sow. An opportunity. And God's allowed me now to be old enough to see some of that seed that took root. And now they are sowing seed for God. Yeah. You see, that's the whole thing. God said, I left you here to sow the seed. I left you here to see that it's carried on. It doesn't stop. It just keeps on going. And important that we do that. Distribution of the seed. Our fruit enables us to have more seed and then much seed. No fruit, no increase. Psalm 126, verse 5, is he that goeth forth and beareth precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaf with him. You see, you got to go with the seed. Man, I want that basket to be full. You know, I love fruits and vegetables. I do. Man, I just love fruits and vegetables. I love corn. I love pumpkin pie. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I love tomatoes. Are you getting the picture? Man, I just love fruits and vegetables. Man, all kinds of fruit. I love apples. Yeah. I love cantaloupe. Oh, watermelon. Oh, watermelon. Yeah. I love fruits and vegetables. But you know what? If there's no seed planted, you say, well, I'm not gardening. I go to the grocery store and get mine. Well, so do I, but where do you think that came from? Somebody somewhere planted a seed. Oh, one thing, just before I'm done, I want you to understand this. Not all fruit will reproduce itself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We have today what we call hybrid fruit. You know what hybrid is? A hybrid fruit is a cross between two different types of fruit. And it produces a fruit, but hybrids cannot reproduce. Oh, me. You say, how does that relate spiritually? I'm afraid we got too many what we would call maybe hybrid religious people that say they're Christians, but they've never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They just learn portions of the Word of God enough to make it sound good, but they've never been born again of the Spirit of God. And they're not going to be fruitful. Because they don't have real life. That hybrid cannot reproduce. But what God gives us is real. Amen. And it will reproduce. From this to this. By the way, the seed today is part one of the message. Part two, you'll have to come back this evening and see if this thing stays empty or not. Because the whole purpose of part one is hopefully to see this field, the harvest. How is your spiritual garden growing this morning? Have you been saved? Do you know that if you die today, your soul is ready for heaven? Have you let the Word of God give you that life inside by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted the gospel message enough that you're willing to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior? I'm not talking about if you go to church. I'm not talking about if you're religious. I'm not talking about if you were baptized. I'm talking about if you had a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and asked Him to save you. And you know that there's life inside. You'll know it. You'll know it because I'm going to tell you what. When this little old seed, that new life inside starts swelling, that old outside just starts to fall away. And things change and become different. And that's what God wants to do for you. But it won't unless you're willing to die to self. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Every morning I say, Lord, no, it's not about me, Lord. It's about you. God, don't let me do what Paul wants to do. Let me do what Jesus wants me to do. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing? How's the fruit in your life? Has your life been a testimony and a help to somebody else? Are you producing a life that's filled with the fruit of the Spirit? Because that's a fruitful life. That's a fruitful life. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Preparing for an invitation time. This morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, this is a great time. No better time than right now. Come to this altar. There's folks who'll take the Word of God right here and show you how you can get that settled once and for all. Know that you're saved. If you're saved, but your life has just not been producing the fruit it ought to, and you know that, it's not evident, you say, Brother Decker, I need a more fruitful life. Why don't you come this morning and talk to the Lord about that? Yield yourself to Him and say, Lord, I die to myself and I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I wonder, two questions very quickly. Number one, how many of you in here could say beyond a shadow of a doubt, Brother Decker, if I died today, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. No problem with me acknowledging that. And you just slip up your hand, hold it up air high. Yes, I'm saved and I know I'm saved. If you don't, be honest. Don't do it, okay? Thank you. You may put them down. Now, if you're here, and I saw many hands, but if you're here and you would say, I didn't raise my hand, because I don't really know, I'm not sure, I have some doubts, or I know I'm not saved, preacher. And you'd say to me, pray for me. I need to get that settled. I need to know I'm saved. Pray for me. If that's you, would you just lift your hand up and share that with me? Just pray for me is what you're saying. I need to get that settled for sure and know that I'm saved and ready for heaven. Pray for me. Okay? All right. How about Christians who would say this, preacher, pray for me. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but I got to be honest with you. I'm not seeing the fruit in my life like I know I should, but I'm not seeing it. Preacher, just when you pray in a moment, include me in that prayer. If that's you as a Christian, would you just slip your hand up, hold it up there? Yes, amen, amen, amen. Yes, I see it. Yes, amen. You may put them down. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Any others before I pray? Pray for me. Include me in that as a Christian. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for salvation in Jesus who died on the cross, shed his precious blood in payment for our sins, was buried and rose again. And we have a living Savior. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for those who could raise their hand and say, I'm saved and no doubt about it. We just want to give you glory and praise for that. Lord, if there's one here this morning, Lord, I pray, God, that you would just work on any that's here and doesn't have that peace of knowing that if they die, their soul's ready for heaven. I pray now you would bless and continue to speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, for Christians that raised their hand and said, God, you had spoken to them about their fruitfulness. Lord, this is your invitation. We pray you'd use it and folks would respond to you as you've spoken to them. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing...